Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hey now, oh my, hoorah! We're in the playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook, and it is once again Jets week in Foxborough, although the game will be at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands. Just a little bit weird that you're getting your repeat performance against a team before you reach the midway point in the season. I realize that sometimes the schedule just calls for that, but it's still a little bit weird, still a little bit hard for me to get used to. Nevertheless, week 7 coming up, and the Patriots and the Jets will go at it again. Now, before we get to recapping the weekend that was for New England, I did want to bring this out, and I did want to ask your thoughts one way or another on a little item that I just saw cross on actually, it was on ESPN New York, that Rex Ryan actually did make a guarantee for this next Sunday. Did you see that? Issuing the challenge to Jets fans, Ryan said yesterday, they will win the game if the fans can recreate the raucous stadium atmosphere from September the 20th of 2009. According to Rich Cimini, who wrote the article, that day, the Jets hit Tom Brady so hard and so often, they beat the stuffing out of his Ugg boots. Wow. But his quote was, if you make it like that, Ryan said during his weekly spot on ESPN New York radio, we're going to beat this team. Ryan said it was so loud that day, he could feel the ground shaking beneath his feet. Of course, that was in the old Giants Stadium, not quite MetLife Stadium. Anyway. Just thought you might want to see that, but I just noticed that posting on ESPN New York, and so actually I'd be interested to know what your initial reaction would be on Rex Ryan, because frankly this year I think he's been a little bit nondescript for him. Although you did kind of sense that maybe his blood was boiling just a little bit when he got a load of that reaction from his brother Rob after the touchdown pass was thrown by Brady to Kenbrell Tompkins on Sunday, right? So he's just taken up for the family fortunes. Anyway, I just wanted to whet your appetite for Jets week, because frankly, the Patriots may need a little emotion on their side as well. We don't know who's going to be healthy enough to play next Sunday at 1 o'clock. We don't know. We'll begin to answer those questions, I think, starting tomorrow, because this is an off day for the team. But wow, considering what we saw, we had 4 guys go down and out during the game. We don't know yet about Gronk. In fact, you know, honestly, here's what I'm going to say about Rob Gronkowski. When he shows up, wake me. Until that, I don't know that I want to say anything about Rob Gronkowski this week at all. In pure Bill Belichick form, he's ineligible. He's not eligible. He's not playing. And I can only deal with the guys that are playing. I can only coach the guys that are playing. In this instance, I can only talk about the guys that are playing. He's not playing. He hasn't played yet. You can think about whatever you want to think about in terms of why that may be the case. And frankly, I think that somewhere the answer is always in the middle of whatever you've heard. I will tell you this. 2 things. Number one, that according to a couple of folks that I spoke with on Sunday, that the alleged rift between the Patriots and Camp Gronkowski is a fabrication, or at least to the extent that Ed Werder and a few others have reported it on various national sources. There may be, and I would say this is most likely, there may be certainly a cautionary tale being spun from the Gronkowski camp simply because they know of the potential damage that has been done to Rob's forearm. And the report that appeared initially, I believe, on WEEI.com last week by Mike Petralia, that seems to me to have struck a nerve, literally, because I think there may be some truth to it. There's been so much going in that the bone has been weakened. And so that's one of the reasons why, even though he's out there practicing, we don't see any visible signs of, you know, real reinforcement on his arm for the little time that we're out there. Fact of the matter is Dr. James Andrews, the noted orthopedic surgeon who was brought in as a third party in this particular instance, that's why he has not been medically cleared yet by Dr. James Andrews. Frankly, I don't know that he gets medically cleared this year. I don't know that he will or won't. I would tell you that maybe, and you won't want to hear this, but just maybe, it might be in his best interest to sit the year out. At least at that time, at that point, he has a whole year to heal. And then maybe he can come back strong next year. And maybe the full year off would give it, you know, the softening of the forearm bone or whatever the hidden problem may be. Maybe that will give him a chance to heal up and address the issue. I will tell you this, however, that if he did not have that large contract that he would re-signed a little over a year ago, there's no way Camp Gronk or even Rob Gronk would be sitting out right now. He's erring on the side of caution. He wants to be good for the long haul of his career. I can't say that I blame him. You can't say you wouldn't do the same thing in his shoes. So it's hard for me to criticize when you really stop and think about what might be at stake. Yeah, I'm sure the guy wants to be out there with his team. Yeah, when all the guys around him seem to be falling away like flies, this last week certainly, as a case in point, you want to be out there. But you want to be out there at what cost? You want to go out there again and have, you know, Houston revisited all over from a year ago? Probably not. So that's what I'll say about Rob Gronk. When he shows back up out there in the field, then we can talk about him a little bit further. Until that point in time, I don't see any point. Now, I'm sure that Patriots fans are thoroughly thrilled with the result on Sunday. Yes, I did. I did wet myself just a little bit when I saw Tom Brady scramble. Just a little bit, I have to admit. That was great. That's exactly what he should be doing. I think that he's been reluctant to do that largely because of some of the injury problems he's had and some of the injury problems that, you know, that you see happen to quarterbacks, you know, week after week when they take off like that. But one thing Tom knows how to do very well, perhaps as well as any quarterback out there, is he knows how to slide. I mean, did you see Drew Brees do the same thing during the game? Yeah, he slid. That's what you do. You don't go head first into a defensive back or a safety. You know, charge for that extra yard, you slide. Discretion is the better part of valor as an NFL quarterback when you're running the football. And so you maybe don't get credit for that extra yard or two, although in Tom's instance, he's got such long arms and long legs, he might still get it anyway. But all I'm saying is that, you know, that was the right call. That was the right move. I'm glad to see him, you know, show that kind of aggressiveness at quarterback and make the right move. You know, and for all the people that thought that I would say advocating Brady, you know, should be replaced, yada, yada, then, you know, I'm really not going to revisit that here. Not because I was wrong, because I'm not. But because you need to go back and listen to what I said, because I really am getting kind of tired of re-explaining myself. I got into this huge Facebook war posting with some dude last night about that very thing, and I'm like, I'm beating a dead horse here, okay? If you go back and listen to what I said, you'd realize that what you're saying and what I'm saying are actually closer to the same than different. So I stopped, and I'm just going to stop right there, because I don't feel the need to repeat myself anymore. I'm not wrong. I understand all of your points, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. So if you're not listening to what I'm saying, okay, then let's move on.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
That was Ryan Leaf, wasn't it? Nice! That's a good one. I'm glad we kept that drop. That's a good one right there. All right, so we got a lot. I mean, there's a lot to talk about in regards to the 30-27 win. There was no winner again. to my knowledge anyway. I look through the early numbers, and usually if someone is close, if not spot on in their prediction, then we get an early email, or I get a Facebook post, or I get a tweet, or I get something. Nobody had Patriots 30, Saints 27. I will say this, however, Kevin. Believe I pegged it. 3 points, right? I said 23-20, right?
I believe you did.
So all I'm going to say is I don't think anybody else in the room did. Fred did, just because we know Fred's just a blind homer anyway. But
I was
Paul,
dead wrong.
Andy, my boy Escal, who will be with us tomorrow because today's his normal day off. Yourself, yours truly.
I was
truly.
So close to being right. I said if the Saints scored 24 points or more, the Patriots couldn't win, and it was almost 24-23.
You know, and I actually, I really thought it was going to end up that way.
It literally.
I really did.
I was
I, really
I mean, it literally took a miracle drive for me to be wrong.
Well, it did. It took a miracle drive. You're absolutely right.
And talking with my dad, John, who was at the game and who's been a Patriot fan for the last, you know, 50 years.
Yep.
You know, those are just one of those. That Sunday was just one of those games that in another 50 years you won't forget.
And that's right. That's right.
He was one of the ones that stayed all the way to the bitter end. I give him credit. And I think because I'm his son and I work for the team, that's why he stayed. But he might have been one of the
guys,
the angry
to get out.
Fans heading for the exit.
You know, I would ask also today our fans, you know, including with your nitpicks, this would be one of my nitpicks today, that the fans left early. I'm going to nitpick the fans today because I realize that you were disappointed. I realize that maybe, you know, you really didn't think that this team had it in them to come back and to pull that kind of comeback. Frankly, when it was 23-17 Patriots, I saw that coming. I think we all kind of saw that coming. When they had to go for that field goal, instead of getting that touchdown that could have put them up 10, I said, the Saints are going to come back and take a lead here. And sure enough, they did. And then when they kicked the field goal, you know, after the Patriots gave the ball up on downs to go down 27-23, I said, oh, good Lord. You know, I mean, okay. But it was just going from, you know, worse to ridiculous.
I'll admit, I still felt they had a chance there. It was the pick.
But the next, but the pick is what sealed it for
me. I felt like it was over.
And that's what sent everybody, I think, off to the stands or out of the stands, off to the tailgates and into the traffic on Route 1. That's what sent him out.
My brain, John, going through the possible scenarios, after the pick happened, and I knew we were still on the north side of the two-minute warning, I thought, all right, you get a timeout at the two-minute warning, you have one timeout left. If they run the ball again, there's a 40-second play clock that'll run all the way down to about a minute 20.
Right.
And then by the time you punt, they'll probably get it with about a minute 10 left.
And that's what happened.
So thinking that, I thought, if they can just get on the plus side, the Saints side of midfield, and have two cracks at a Hail Mary in the end zone, that's what I was thinking the best case scenario would be. And they far exceeded that expectation.
I still thought there was a chance to steal it until Brady threw the pick. You know, obviously, because I thought they could drive down and kick the field goal and maybe somehow squeak it out 26-24. When Brady threw the pick, I was pretty much ready to pack it in myself. In fact, I also write a little game story for GoLocalProv.com, as you know, on all of the games. And I had my lead. I had everything ready to go, which I thought was entirely hilarious when Bill Belichick said.
Yeah, he poked fun at all you guys.
He poked fun at every writer that was there and said, I'm sorry you guys had to rewrite there at the end. And he was right. He knew, because Bill knows. I can guarantee you that anybody that was doing a game story on that game definitely had to rewrite their lead. Without a doubt, because you just don't see that happen all that often. But my first nitpick today has to be, as this is Nitpick Tuesday, as we always do on Tuesdays here inside the playbook, it's got to be with the fans. I mean, have they not? I got to ask, and I realize that I'm a part of that. I have to stay because it's my job.
Yeah, everyone missed your dulcet tone saying touchdown.
Well, that's because the people were going nuts. And that will lead me into my second nitpick here momentarily. But, you know, I had to stay because that is my job. So I can't say that if I had had tickets and I was sitting in the stands, I can't say, in all honesty, that I wouldn't have left either because I would have wanted to go out to, you know, throw another burger on the grill or pop another, you know, top on a brew or something, you know, out of, you know, with my buddies. Because,
drink your troubles away.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm human, just like everybody else.
A nice cold Bud Light in the parking lot. Fire the grill up, have a burger and a sausage.
And you wait for the traffic to go by.
That takes the sting away.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's why people do this. That's why people plan their entire weekends, their entire fall around pro football. because that, you know, that's what people do here. Our tailgate crowd, by the way, in and around Gillette, very much like a college atmosphere. For those
of you
that go
to, great tailgate,
we have a great tailgate atmosphere here
people
at Gillette.
People get really creative with the kinds of grills
I love
and RVs
it.
They bring.
That's one of the things I love best when I arrive early is walking through the parking lots to smell the tailgate. And this crowd, and it's a pro crowd, make no mistake about it, but this crowd is very much like a college tailgate atmosphere. There's camaraderie, there's rah-rah, there's, you know, the great tailgating, there's creativeness, there's, I mean, it's good. It's good here. It's as good as I've seen in a pro stadium.
You get a lot of cool local flavor where you'll see people cooking lobsters and shellfish and shrimp and all sorts
they're
of
doing,
local stuff
they're doing, they're doing clam boils.
Yeah, in chowder and all that
good
stuff.
Oh, yeah, lots of chowder, you know, and you get the requisite burgers and steaks, and you get a lot of sausage and things like that, which is really great. By the way, speaking of sausage, don't you just love the new Aaron Rodgers commercial with Da Bears? Have you seen
it? Yes. The grill class. That he,
yeah, they're sitting in grill class. They got upgraded
grill
to grill class.
That's what it is. Yeah, we've upgraded you to grill class. Everyone's coughing from all the smoke coming out.
Discount, double check. I love that. That's just funny. That and my boy, the camel, the Geico camel.
Gotta wait tomorrow for him.
Oh, that's right. What day is it? Okay, that's tomorrow. All right, so I can digress on my own. I don't need Eric to digress. All right, so you've heard one of my nitpicks. Gotta ask you what yours are. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, the toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500, or the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Thank you again to all the recent ads on Twitter. And if you haven't followed on Twitter, I hope you do. At JR Broadcaster is the handle. And then, of course, you can hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. That's how you spell the last name. Now, before I get to the phone calls, and I'm going to get to the phone calls here shortly, I've got some Twitters, some tweets coming in. I got some Facebook posts coming in. Need the emails coming in on your nitpicks for Nitpick Tuesday. Your thoughts as well on my initial nitpick and the fans leaving early. Your thoughts as well on Rex Ryan guaranteeing a win if the fans show up. We're going to put this off on the fans, which I kind of have a problem with to begin with. We're going to put the blame on the fans now if the Jets don't come and play at MetLife Stadium. That it's going to be the fans' fault, which is in effect basically what he's saying. I don't know about that. Believe me, I love it when Rex opens his mouth, but that's kind of cheap. Anyway, just me. But this is my second nitpick. It might be my most important nitpick. But at any rate, in case you did not hear the end of the Patriots radio broadcast, I will play it for you, and then I'd love for you to have your comments on it as well.
Brady's in the gun. Bolden to his left. He's got the Who Man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Who left the building? Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef? Boy, when you thought you'd seen it all, when it's total despair, 14 years in the league, this situation after situation he's been through, and to elevate a rookie, my God.
Yeah, my God, indeed. First of all, you know, I loved Scott Zolak. I think he's a great guy. He's a cool dude, but he's got a lot to learn. Lot to learn. I understand that you have natural emotion that, and you want to just jump out of your chair, but a veteran broadcaster is not going to just completely hammer his partner like he did Bob on that particular instance. And then coming up with the, you know, show ponies, unicorns, that's just somebody trying to make a name for himself. That's just somebody trying to go viral. And what he's done, as I said to, you know, Fred and Paul and Andy earlier, what he's done now is he's kind of made the Patriots laughing stocks. As much as we like to laugh on and goof on other, you know, fans and other team broadcasters who are, you know, big homers and, you know, hey, you know, act like you've been there before for once, you know? You know, Zoe just brought us right down to everybody else's level. And as someone who makes part of his living on training a new era of broadcasters and journalists. For those that don't know, I've been a journalism professor at Emerson College in Boston for a number of years. I was very, very pleased and proud to have taught the number one rated college sportscaster in the country a year ago. We do turn out pretty good, a pretty good group of aspiring sports journalists at Emerson. Someone who does that for a living, that's going to go on my list of what not to do. Never under any circumstance should the journalist, should the reporter be the story. You don't insert yourself into the story. You let the story tell itself. It's okay if you get caught up in the emotion. It's okay if you portray that to your audience, because the audience is naturally going to be emotional. They're going to look to you for reasoning. They're going to look to you to tell the story. They're not going to look to you to try to be the story, which is what happened. I felt sorry. I felt kind of sad, to be honest with you. I really did. And, you know, and honestly, as someone who's been doing it for 25 years in college basketball, and my partner on the radio in college basketball is very emotional like Zoe. He is not a professional broadcaster. He's a former NBA player and was an All-American at Providence College, where I called games in the Big East. And so I don't expect him to really know. And even over the years, over 25 years, he's kind of learned that, you know, when a big moment comes in, you wait until the play-by-play guys finish calling the play before you jump in with your emotion and your description of what just happened. Every once in a while, he'll stub his toe, and every once in a while, he'll jump on me. And I learned years ago to just kind of like, you know what, that's fine. It's natural emotion. I'm used to it. It's okay. But at least he's learned over time, and he's not a broadcaster. He didn't go to school to study that. Now, neither did Zoe. But Zoe puts himself off as a professional broadcaster every week when he does his talk show on 98.5, which is Patriots' flagship station here in New England. And so for someone that's going to be in this industry and act like he's in this industry and wants to be treated with respect of a veteran who's paid his dues, that was a huge step back. He's not going to be the friend of any play-by-play guy that I know. Now, Bob Soucy, who's calling the radio now, he's got to get along with the dude. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to step up and say anything. But as someone who teaches, I would tell you, you know, you can't do that to your play-by-play guy, because you're going to look like a goof. Is that what you really want to go off as, a goof? I mean, that erodes credibility when you look like a goof. I mean, let's face it. Scott Zolak was what in New England? What was he? He was a backup quarterback to Drew Bledsoe, largely. He, you know, got a chance to start a handful of games, but he was a journeyman. Well, he wasn't even a journeyman. He was here. But he was a backup. That was his role. And certainly that's a role that a lot of people would kill for. That's, you know, people would die. They would give a bodily appendage up for a chance to be a pro quarterback in the NFL. I get that. But you want to, because, you know, we all know that backup quarterbacks, you know, no matter, you know, whether it's college or pro football, they're not thought of in the highest esteem because they are the backup. Does that make sense to you? That's what I, and without, I'm trying to kind of dance around this somewhat delicately without inserting foot and mouth, but that's just the way it is. Now, if I were a backup quarterback, believe me, I'd take pride in that because I'm good enough to get to that stage. And believe me, I'm going to be trying my ass off to get to be number one somewhere. Didn't work out for him. So you'd think that, you know, for someone who really needs credibility in his profession as a relatively rookie broadcaster, he's been around for a few years. I worked with Zoe at a now defunct sports radio station in Providence a number of years, right after Scott retired, in fact, from pro football. So I've known Zoe for a long time. And honestly, I'm sure he's kind of enjoying some of the spotlight that he's in, but I can't imagine that in all seriousness, he thinks he did the right thing here. Because he's someone that has to have some credibility in his career in order to advance himself. So maybe he's okay with being who he is. And I think this is what happens usually with guys who are okay with stepping out like that and making a name for themselves and stealing the spotlight, if you will, from a moment You know, and from a point in time that, you know, shoot, I don't know about you, but I'll remember that game and that catch for a long time. Patriots fans will remember that play for a long time. But you know, you're going to remember it for Zoe's, you know, idiotic call, or are you going to remember it for, you know, Tom Brady stepping up and leading the Patriots to another comeback win? What are you going to remember it most for? You're going to end up being a sidelight to the main theme. You're going to end up being a joke to the main theme. And for someone who craves credibility, it just wasn't the right step to take. Love to get your thoughts on it. Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. Tweet me at JR Broadcaster, or send me Facebook post. John.Rook is the Facebook address. All right? So a couple of different things to talk about. There are two nitpicks I've already given you, the fans and Scott Zolak, and I realize that I'm reaching there. I do have a third nitpick that I'll save. I usually try to come up with my top three every week, and yes, this does concern the game, but overall, I just found it incredibly hard to nitpick a 30-27 win over a former undefeated team. I found it hard. I found it almost unfair because of the obstacles that this team overcame during the course of the game, and then learning as we did after how many guys got knocked out of the game. I mean, really, I asked Andy on the way out the door out of the studio today, I said, anybody going to be around to play this week? He kind of shook his head. He goes, good Lord, don't know. And he's right. He's right. We don't know. We won't know until tomorrow. We don't know who will walk in there. We don't know who's going to show up on the field of practice. We don't. I mean, it's wow. It's just wow. Danny Amendola took as hard a hit and fell like the proverbial sack of potatoes when he got knocked out of the game. I mean, unconscious. Boom. Right there. Now, I admire Amendola's gut and grit there's a lot of stuff about Amendola that I admire. But here's a guy that, you know, God love him. He just can't stay. He can't stay healthy. Can't do it. Patriots should have known this. You know, and I do expect that if this, you know, head injury, and I hope he recovers, and I hope he's able to return to the field soon, and I hope he's able to prove all of us wrong, the Patriots made a grave error in judgment in letting Wes Welker go. They just did. Because Welker's the kind of guy that can just flat out, he just gets back up like, he's the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on ticking. And Amendola may be younger, he may be faster, he may be smarter, he may be tougher, maybe a little bit bigger, he's also more injury prone. And if this doesn't prove it, I don't know what else will. I'm rooting for the guy. But I'm rooting for the team also, as a fan. As someone who tries to look at it somewhat subjectively, I can say now it looks like it was not a smart move. But I guess we'll have to continue to let it play out. Just a thought. Don't know how you feel about it. Aqib Talib, I think that could be the biggest loss of all, although I know he was walking around the locker room relatively, apparently unscathed yesterday. But it was a hip flexor that he apparently hurt that caused him to come out of the game. But I thought his defense and the defensive scheme on Jimmy Graham was brilliant. Brilliant. And Talib showed that he is a shutdown corner. And I have three words for Aqib Talib. Pay the man. Got any thoughts on that one? You can go for it as well. Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. All right, here we go. Going to lead it off with our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, you're in the playbook.
Wow, Pablo, where do I start?
I hope I gave you enough to work with, Steve.
Wow, unicorns, Gronk, and Rex Ryan. Well, Gronk and the unicorn are becoming somewhat synonymous. We believe they exist, but we just haven't seen them.
See, now that's a very good analogy by you, and I'm very happy now that I led off with you on the program because you just kind of set the table right there.
In the case of Rex Ryan, you know, kind of been there, done that, John. The more he talks, the more I know that we're getting ready to cash a check on a win.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That stand for what it is. And as far as, I probably followed him since he was the backup. Well, actually, I have followed him when he was the backup to Drew and then made the transition and was there at Emerson with you, you know, doing what he did. And, you know, I understand the emotion, but I sat there and went, Zoe, buddy, all you needed to say was, Foxborough miracle. Those two words.
My main. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you could have come up with something classy, and you could have, you know, stayed out of it, and he would have been looked at as a shining example. Instead, now, you know, and for everybody that loved the call, and frankly, I can understand why someone would love the call because it was raw emotion. But for everybody that loves the call, don't you realize that now you're looked at like, you know, a bunch of yahoos? I mean, and now you're being subject to the same derision that you deride other teams and other people for? And frankly, you know, if Scott was, you know, in line to, you know, maybe step his game up a little bit and do something else in this career, he just killed it. He just killed it. Because if I'm someone that wants to be a part of the show, I mean, if I'm hiring somebody and I see someone that wants to be a part of the show like that, I'm not hiring that person. The game has to tell the story, not the individual. And that's just the way it works. So, you know, and I would also tell you that if you loved it, then you're probably a little bit Yahoo like he is. That's all I would tell you. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, all right, that's a different aspect. But you have no knowledge of the broadcasting industry or of journalism as a whole. You don't do that to your on-air partner. You don't try to make them look like a goofball. You don't steal the moment from someone whose job it is to describe the play for the listening audience. And he didn't allow his partner to do that.
And the beauty is, if you would have gone with Foxborough Miracle, you would have set up the journalist after the Sox amazing win to be able to do the Miracle Continues in Fenway.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, it was a remarkable day in New England sports history. It really was. Hard to believe that it happened. I was really happy that I, you know, got to be at least a small, you know, part of the Patriots, part of that. I wonder if anybody actually got a chance to make it from Gillette to Fenway in time to see the Red Sox game that night, because that was
if they left the Pats game early and actually made it to see the end of the Sox game. God bless him.
That's yeah, nice. No fooling, huh? I remember I tried that, Steve, with a buddy of mine a few years ago. We actually had tickets, and I believe this was, I don't want to say, I think it was 07, not 04, but 07. And we actually had tickets to game two of the World Series, and so I think it was game two. So, yeah, so I think it would have been 07. Yes. And we managed to leave the Patriots game right at the end of the game, got out in traffic and got to Fenway, I think the bottom of the first inning, because it was like a 7 o'clock start or whatever. And even with traffic, we managed to make it. And I thought that was a Herculean effort then. But even though the game had started before, you know, the football game was over, I would have found someone pulling that off to be, pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And as far as what we're looking at now going ahead with the injuries, I mean, that's the cause for concern. And I already said it before about Amendola. You know, he's tough, but he's not durable. And, you know, we respect that in him. But as someone alluded to, you know, the greatest asset for any player in the NFL isn't their toughness or durability or even their football IQ. It's availability. You got to be on the field. And if that doesn't happen, then you kind of mitigate your chances and impact of being around for a while. And to kind of wrap this all up real quick, John, and give somebody else an opportunity. In the case of Tlaib, I think we need to go back to the Grant Hill Sprite commercials from, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, when every time he showed up, there was like dollar signs and the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, just pay the man. He's proven that he is among the elite cornerbacks in the NFL, and he has the ability to be what he is, which is a shutdown corner.
Yeah.
So the hope is that he returns, you know, and once again, we're back to kind of where we were before, where, you know, these guys who really aren't known were able to cobble together wins and build a solid season. 5-1 is amazing.
It is amazing. Steve, you're absolutely right about that. It is amazing when you consider how this team has struggled offensively and the injuries they've had to overcome and the fact that they won 5 of 6. We're losing sight of the big picture here. You know, and all the nitpicking and all the, you know, hollering on the radio and everything else that's going on. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I got to admit, I'm kind of shaking my head on it.
And the truth is, we're 1 or 2 plays away from being 6-0, too, John, in all reality with the Cincinnati game. So, I mean, keeping that perspective, not taking anything away from Cincy, that was, they played a great game, and unfortunately the Pats just didn't have enough as far as execution to pull that one out. But my nit, you know, putting the Zoe thing aside, and even the fans leaving early, is the third and long situations they were in that game made it exceedingly difficult for them to pull off the win, even when things looked like they were rolling.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think the score was as reflective of the Pats' dominance as it really was for the majority of that game.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
He showed up, and if you look at the number of three and outs that happened with the Saints team that's supposed to be a really prolific offense, and they are.
Right.
The Patriots defense, for probably the better part of 80 to 90% of the game, really controlled the tempo, John, from what I saw. And, you know, that's what we expected of this team this year, that the defense would kind of pull the sled for a while, and then eventually the offense would, you know, come together and we'd be able to put together, again, a solid team, probably about where we are right now,
right.
7-8 maybe after the bye. But, you know, the first set of the gauntlet of three has been run, and now looking at, you know, the Jets, Dolphins, and Steelers, I feel good about it, but I still feel a little uneasy at the same time just based on where we are as far as personnel.
I agree.
Not knowing exactly where we're going to go.
I totally agree. I feel good, but I'm not giddy good because we just don't know how banged up we are. And that's really I think that's a fair assessment.
And as far as Gronk, you know, I just don't want to see it turn into the Favre retirement, you know, carousel of, you know, he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. You know, I'll expect him when he shows up like you, John, at this point. And, you know, I'd much rather that we err on the side of caution, make sure that he's absolutely healthy and ready to go.
Yeah.
And if that means it's next year, okay, fine, so be it. We're 5-1 without him. That's
right.
The other key perspective on it.
And that's why I said what I did, Steve, because, you know, okay, has he really been a difference maker? Well, no, not really. I mean, could he have made a difference maybe against, against Cincinnati? Maybe. But, I mean, the team is 5-1, so pretty hard to argue against that, right?
That's true. And, you know, all things being equal, I hope that, you know, the Jones Soda Company shows up. They make a product called Whoop-Ass. That we open up a whole truckload of it in New York, as always. But
yeah, absolutely.
You got it, John. Thanks. All the best to you, sir.
All right, man. Thanks. You too, Steve. Appreciate that. All right, let's get to our buddy Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
I didn't like that. I heard part of the play-by-play. I think somebody else played it. I didn't like that part either, but I guess it's going to be announced. But as far as the fan leaving, well, I got to be part of that fan base.
You left, Eldridge?
I wasn't at the game. I was at my sister's house. We had a little cookout.
Yeah.
So. The game, that was the main event game on that day. So first two quarters, I'm talking crap. Next quarter come back, then when Brady threw the interception, they said, "Don't leave now." I said, "Man, this minute something. If they come back, I gotta go." So I walked out the door, and me and my baby went to the store. Then I had a buddy call me. I'm like, "Okay, he's gonna call about the third game, right?" I'm like, "Okay, whatever, bro. We won, man." We won what? So when I left, I saw Brady throw the interception. And I'm like, damn, that's it. Ain't no way. You know, I figured they'll run it out, run the clock out, and that's the end of the ball game. But when I saw the highlights, and I called my sister back, and nobody answered the phone then. Nobody wanted to say nothing.
Wow. Well, you know what? I got to give you a lot of credit. At least you called yourself out on the carpet for that. So, you know, that proves that, you know, you're at least an honest fan. You're also a good fan.
Thank you. But my thing is the injury-wise, too, because Tlaib, you said, walking a little bit. But I'm worried about Mayo now. If Vince gone and if Mayo can't make it, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And that defense did show me something. I had to bite my tongue, because I'm the one top critic on them.
Yeah.
They're slow corners, you know, but I got to get my ass to them. They played real good. They played real good. And as far as Tompkins, maybe turn the page now, you know. But I don't know, but everything else looks pretty good. 5-1. And Rex Ryan, I hate New York anyway. I just hope they put a 40 burger on them and they don't score nothing. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay, I think that's fair. Sure, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because he don't have a. I gotta give him. They didn't talk about top five defense. You know, and they did get up Brady pretty good when he was in New England. You know, that's the only thing. That's the only thing that concerned me right about now, because I think Holmes hurt again, and I think heel is hurt. So they got Curry and that other guy, you know. So I think they, and Winslow's gone, tight end's gone. So they about to please it like we are, you know. And I just think, like, I hope for the 40 for a goal.
Right,
and
right.
I told them, John, I say that from day one. When they let West go, the second biggest mistake they ever made to me in 7 years. First mistake was let Moss go and then keep him around for a while.
Well, Eldridge, they had to let Moss go because he was beginning to be a problem in the locker room, and they were just not gonna put up with that. So I've never had a problem with that.
Yeah, that's not what I heard. They even came from Brady. It wasn't that far. I think his problem was, like I said, he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He wanted his yards, he wanted his accolades, you know, be at least with Rice instead of let Megatron get. You know, but you can see from his point of view. Instead of them using it as a target and freeing everybody else.
Well, I'm sure that was discussed, and they probably decided, hey, if that's what you want, you're going to have to go someplace else to get it. I mean, that's all revisionist history now, though.
Yeah, but that's always, but West, Amendola, I would at least give West $10 million, you know, and just kept him around for about a year. But Amendola...
Well, but you have to understand, though, again, Eldridge, that if they had done that, it would have been up to West to accept it. He wasn't going to accept a one-year deal. So that's really kind of a moot point. I mean, we can throw all kinds of numbers out there and say, hey, you know, maybe he'd accept that, maybe he'd accept that, but we don't know. I mean, the fact is he was into it for a multi-year deal because he knows he's coming to the end of his career. Patriots weren't willing to do that, at least give him the number he was looking for, although, you know, the Patriots have made the argument, and I guess it really depends on your point of view, that the Patriots' offer was actually greater than what Denver ended up giving him. Suffice to say, again, it's water under the bridge. The Patriots, I'm sure there are some in the New England camp that are undoubtedly, you know, shaking their heads a little over it right now, but there's really not much they can do about it. They got to make the best of the situation. This is why this game is what it is. It is, you know, it's an inexact science. We see, you know, screw ups in the draft every year. We see talent evaluation that, you know, we wonder where the hell did that come from, and yet this team still manages somehow to bulldoze its way through it and get to this point 5-1, even with all the injury problems that they've had. And without one of their arguably best players, and Rob Gronkowski has yet to see the light of day on the field this year. So overall, you know, again, I realize that that's part of what we do here on Tuesdays is we do the little nitpicky things. But I had a hard time coming up with it overall this week just because of the fact that this team has overcome a lot of adversity, some of it inflicted by the people that are in the decision-making positions within the organization.
Yeah, but don't you think they should have did their homework a little bit more on Amendola? I mean,
How much more homework could they do if you and I know it? I mean, then I'm going to assume that they're already doing more homework than you and I because that's their job to do that. And yet, you know, they still make the decision that they make. Okay, so what was the decision making process like? What swayed them? I'll tell you what swayed them: the fact that he's 5 years younger. And that he's actually a little bigger, stronger version of Wes, even though he plays the same type of role. And they're taking a calculated gamble that he'd be able to stay on the field. And they gambled wrong. Just like they gambled on Aaron Hernandez in the fourth round a few years ago, and they gambled wrong. So it's just going to happen. I'm not blaming the Patriots for taking the gamble. What I want to know now is, all right, so how do you fix the problem?
Well, that's all I know because Collie look pretty good, but I wonder if he get a hit like that, would he go out like that?
We don't know. And that's what a lot of people said in and around the media and outside the media. That's what a lot of people said when they learned that Collie had signed. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, that's an accident waiting to happen. So, hey, listen, I will say this about Austin Collie, though, Eldridge, and thanks for the call. I'll say this about Austin Collie. He did come up big on that last drive. I mean, they needed somebody, and here's a guy that doesn't really, you know the playbook very well, but they coached him up enough where he could, you know, get open, and bang, he did it. Huge, huge effort. Big ups to Austin Collie, you know, for coming up like that. He may get more of a chance this week against the Jets, depending on what Amendola's status is going to be. Here's Bill in Connecticut. Bill, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John. How's it going? Great show.
Thank you, Bill.
I heard that first time on your show with Zoe, and I think he was way over the top. Uncalled for.
Well, look, yeah, it was over the top. And I, you know, but I guess here's the bottom line you have to remember. Even though he tries to put himself off as a professional broadcaster, he's not. And so I guess you probably can excuse the enthusiasm to an extent. It's not textbook. It's not what you teach. You know, if you got caught up in the moment with him for something like that, then that's fine.
Well, hopefully somebody gets in his ear and lesson learned.
Well, it may very well be. Look, I like Scott personally, and like I said, we've worked together in the past, and I run into him all the time, and he's a good dude. I just, mm-hmm. you know, think that, you know, whenever you try to step in and be the story, that's the first rule against, you know, journalism, is trying to insert yourself in the story. Let the story tell itself. You don't need to be a part of the story. And then if you're not going to be a journalist, then I would say you don't have any business being in the industry. That's all.
Yeah, well, I got an outside of the normal realm nitpick for this week. My nitpick is Tom Brady. And now before everybody put their underwear in a bunch, I'm going to explain why. Our defense, and it was a great game, great comeback. Our defense did a great job, and we should not have been in that position. Brady's location of some of these passes were horrible. I mean, horrible. Then some of the passes that everyone or people were catching, he was putting them in a position where they were getting nailed. I mean, I can't help but think that his placement of the ball is off, and it's not just this game. It's pretty much been all season long.
Yep.
What do you think about that? That catch that Edelman made on the last drive of the game, I'm like, no way he's holding on to that after that hit. I mean, he jumps up in the air to go grab the ball and then gets sandwiched by two defenders.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, a lot of times the passes are low and behind, and once they catch them, they can't do anything, can't turn up field. That's my only nitpick. Now, on the flip side of that, we're still 5-1, so I give that nitpick with a grain of salt because it could be a whole lot worse.
Well, and I would too, and I would second that, Bill, only because I've got some people who who are killing me basically for being critical of Tom Brady, and now they've been in my face giving me hey, I told you so. How do you like Brady now after he does what he did at the end of the game? And they don't bother to listen. They don't hear the discussion. They don't bother to let it soak in what we're saying here. All they hear is Tom Brady needs to go, and that's not what was said at all. But the fact of the matter is that Tom's skills have eroded, as they always do when you get older. That's the only thing that we've noticed here, and I'm glad that you brought it up because, yeah, he was throwing down the feet at people. He's throwing behind receivers, and that's why I was glad to see him step up and run on those quarterback sneaks, because he needed to. That's what a quarterback who's worth his salt is going to step up and do. So
the scary part is until Sunday's game, I thought it was all downhill. But, I mean, I noticed the velocity on the ball was a lot better. He had a nice, tighter spiral than he had in the last couple of games.
The passes on that last drive, Bill, were absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, there's no question. He was, yeah. It was like you could see when they, I remember the big screen in the stadium shows a shot of Tom on the sideline. He gets ready to come back out there with 1:13 left or whatever it was with no timeouts. And uh-huh. He had the steely eye stare. And I actually nudged my spotter next to me and I said, look at him. He's ready to go. We've seen this stare before. And sure enough.
To the defense as well. Defense reminds me of 2001. Not the greatest defense, but will get you a stop when they have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to, I mean, that to me is the story that's really going untold here, is that, the defense is, missed some of the key ingredients. And, they didn't have Mayo at the end of the game. They didn't have Will Fork the entire game. They didn't have Tlaib at the end of the game. And yet these guys are still finding a way to make plays and keep the other team at least within earshot and eye shot with a chance to steal it. And that's what Brady was able to finally dial up some magic, and he got receivers to hold on to the ball. That was the biggest thing that we saw.
And it was also really good to see Josh McDaniels attack that blitz with screen passes out in the flat.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we would see more of that once he got back. But
well, I thought the way that
we do it a lot with Billy O'Brien, but I thought we would see a lot more of it once Josh McDaniels got back, but it was good to see that.
I thought the way that New Orleans kept bringing heat that, you know, Tom was going to get killed out there. I really did.
Yeah.
He got hammered. And, of course, exactly. You know, Hooman did a hell of a job, I thought. And he's so undervalued on this team. The guy's
blocking to up front for
superb job of blocking. Job. He's really very undervalued as a blocker, and he's pretty doggone decent. How about the shoe top catch that he made? I mean, even though it was 2 or 3 yard gain, I mean, that looked like an incompletion. And the official said, no, he got the ball. So, he's one of those undervalued guys that the Patriots have just flat out hit a home run on. They need more guys like that in the lineup, and they're probably going to get a chance for those guys to contribute just because of the way that the injuries seem to be playing themselves out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was a great win. Just want to say to the fans, if you didn't DVR this game, you should shoot yourself.
Thanks, Bill.
That was one for the ages. Have a good one.
All right, Bill. Appreciate that. It is 855-PATS-500, the telephone number, 855-PATS, P-A-T-S, 500. Web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, we're going to get a timeout on here. We're going to get to some of our emails. Some of you are already killing me. That's fine. Bring it on. And then if you've got your thoughts on nitpicks for Sunday, if you'd love your thoughts on Scott Zolak's call, that's also takeable, welcomed here at this particular stage. Rex Ryan's guarantee that the Jets will win the game if the fans are loud. And what is loud anyway? Did you see what happened in Kansas City this last week? Your thoughts on all of the above coming up right here in the Playbook.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Except that it wasn't exactly sucky, sucky, sucky this weekend. It was actually pretty good. And a 30-27 win for the Patriots over the Saints puts them at 5-1. Two undefeateds left in the NFL.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Three more that are 5-1. The Patriots are one of those. Although I saw where ESPN had the Patriots, I guess, fifth in their power ranking today, behind both the other two 5-1 teams, one of them being the Saints. So I don't know how you rank someone behind the New Orleans Saints, but you beat them. I'm a little bit surprised by that one. They have the Saints at 3, the Seahawks at 4, and the Patriots at 5. So you're two spots behind them? I don't really get that. So, okay, whatever. I mean, in the NFL, don't you rate people? If you're going to rate people, don't you rate people first and foremost on head-to-head competition? Of course you do, knuckleheads. All right, so let's get to some thoughts again here. Webradio at patriots.com. The phone lines are open now at 855-PATS-500 or the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. With your nitpicks, your thoughts on the radio call, your thoughts on Rex Ryan, your thoughts on Jets Week again, whatever your thoughts may be. All right, I'm going to look here. First of all, let me sort of just group these together because I guess it probably would be in my best interest to perhaps put all these together. Hold on a second. Here's one that came just at the tail end of PFW that I want to get in here. He says, in the handoff, you got to ask Rook if he saw the Brady scramble for a first down in the first quarter. Then ask him if that's enough to not draft a mobile quarterback. Came from Bill. Pretty good, Bill. No, it's not enough to not draft a mobile quarterback. I mean, are we looking at the same thing, or are we looking at two different things? I love Tom Brady. Tom's great. He's been a great quarterback for a number of years. He's a sure-fired first-ballot Hall of Famer. But, you know, he'd be the first to tell you that, you know, Tom at 36 is not the same as Tom at 24. So there you go. It's just a byproduct of what happens in this day and age, especially in professional sports. We all get older, our skills all diminish, and you try to set the table for somebody to do it better than you, because invariably we all end up teaching and coaching and handing off to our successors in life. We just do. And Tom has got to do the same thing. And at some point in time, he will. It's that simple. TG and NJ says, I almost forgot. Got to update Squiddy's prediction. He says 5-11. Just wanted to make that little adjustment for him. Well, it's true. I mean, now, I will say this about Eric, and we'll let Eric defend himself tomorrow. But fact of the matter, TG, is that Eric thought this team would go 9-7. He thought this team would be 3-3 after 6 weeks, and they're 5-1. I thought this team would be 4-2 after 6 weeks, and they're 5-1. Although I did go back 2 weeks ago before or after the game against Atlanta, and I amended my prediction because I said 10-6 on the year, and I thought that Atlanta would be a loss. It was a win, so I upped it to 11-5. So if I go 11-5, if you allow me that little indiscretion, that means they're only going to go 6-4 the rest of the way because this team is 5-1 right now. I got to admit, I'm not liking that one. I can't keep changing it, though, every time something happens, though. This team is still 5-1 and defying all logic. So, you know, I'll stick with 11-5, although I will say that one of the things that we mentioned in the opening week of the season was that this team was capable of going 12-4, 13-3. But with injuries, I didn't think they'd get there. And as it turns out, with injuries right now, they look like they're getting there. But I think you got to let this thing continue to play itself out. We're not even to the halfway point in the season yet. And that's the most important part because, quite frankly, injuries could still play a factor, and I think we all know exactly what we're talking about here. All right, couple of other things about Scott Zolak's call here. John in South Carolina, I can't, you know, this doesn't surprise me, John. Sorry, but the call was fantastic. I loved it, made me happy as a fan. I think sometimes the media forget the game exists for the fans. Yeah, okay, but I think that's, all right, whatever, John, that's fine. What Zoe did was rude, probably, but as a fan, I don't care. I want the emotion. I want the pure homerism at that moment. Okay, that's fine. You can certainly ask for that. You're looking for a homerism, you got it. But from a journalistic point of view, that's not what you do. You don't go and you don't root. And I would say that if you don't understand that, then you don't even understand what journalism is. So maybe you need to go Google the term journalism. He says, it's more important to me to hear that explosion of emotion on that amazing play than the person calling the touchdown. Well, okay, that's fine. But if someone actually is not a fan and wants to hear what the call is, the whole point is that Zoe stepped all over him. And then, of course, he made himself the show by, you know, uttering, you know, the inane phrases that he did. So, again, I would just say, look, just go understand what journalism is, and then we'll have a discussion, because this is like, you know, I'm not sure you grasp it. I'm not sure you grasp it, but that's okay. I understand that. I understand people are going to like the call. That's fine. It's perfectly fine. In fact, here's another one. Wait, well, hold on. Let me get this one. Hold on, because I'm definitely not going to avoid it here. Where did it go? Got to find it. We didn't. Oh, here we go. Joe wrote this, and he says, chuckling, because you believe you are infinitely more qualified due to your repeated mentions of your professorship, your jealousy of Zolak's position as announcer is palpable. That's pretty good. I like that one. That's a good one. I can't even read what Rodolfo wrote because, quite frankly, he's got some borderline, shall we say, let's just say some not nice things, but that's okay, Rodolfo. I understand you are a passionate fan, and I'm not offended. I would just tell you, as I wrote you on the response, so check your email, I would just say, yo, lighten up, Francis. It's a game we're talking about here. That's all we're talking about. I can only tell you what I do. In fact, especially more for Joe here, I can only tell you what I do because it's pertinent to what we're talking about, okay? I mean, if you wanted to learn, you know, I've got a pretty good track record. That's all I'm going to say. That's not what we teach, you know, aspiring broadcasters to do. We don't teach them to be a part of the show. You know, this isn't, you know, America's Got Talent or anything like that. You know, it's a sport. It's, you know, we're trying to report on the sport. You know, here in a talk show format, we offer our opinion because that's what we're paid to do. You may not like my opinion. You don't have to agree with my opinion, but jealousy? Hardly. Hardly. You know, I've been doing what I do for well over 30 years, and I know a lot of, and I'm very proud of my career, and I think Joe's a good guy. So I just happen to disagree with what he did. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's see. Matt says this on Facebook. He says, I don't like the call, but it is what we've come to expect from him. That's his personality. And if he spoke over Gill, what makes us think he'll let Soucy talk? But it did do one thing, and it got people talking about it. I bet the people at the station hated the call, but loved the fact that on every single sports show you saw on 98.5 The Sports Hub. As someone who does do some broadcasting, I would probably hit my color guy if he started to do that. But then again, I have never dealt with anyone like Zoe in the booth. Ha ha. That's a good point. It's a very, very good point. Absolutely. And very fair. Here's one from Sandrine on Twitter who says, I thought it was funny, listened to it a couple of times, and laughed every time. Lighten up a bit, John. I am being light about it. But I was asked my opinion, and I gave my opinion. What the hell's wrong with that? You don't have to agree with it. That was my opinion. And I gave my opinion based on what I do for a living. You know, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see journalism professor at Emerson College. That's what I do. You know, you don't, in fact, you don't have to give that any credit or any credibility whatsoever. Just consider me on, you know, what I've done here on the show. How about that? Forget what I do for a living. Just, you know, I've been here now. This is my 13th season doing this. So, which I think, if I recall, is actually longer than Scott's actually been a broadcaster, if I'm not mistaken. 13 years doing just this show. And I did go to school to study this, and I've paid my dues over the course of, oh, I don't know, about 35, almost 36 years now. So, okay, if you want to discredit that, if you want to say big deal, that's fine. You're certainly within your right to do that. You know, and, you know, I'm sure when someone tells you you don't know what you're doing and you've been doing something for as long as I have been, you'd take umbrage with that as well. But you know what? That's not even the point here. The point here is that we all have opinions and that we do things on this show simply because it gets people to talk about it. It gets people to write in. It gets you to comment. It gets you to call in. It gets you to tweet. It gets you to do a lot of things. Otherwise, it'd be pretty boring because then I'd be talking to myself for 2 hours and we'd all hate that, including me. So you don't have to like it. But let's have a discussion about it, can we? Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like. Do you see my point of view? And if you don't, fine, then tell me why. Okay, that's fair. Absolutely fair. All right, let me get back to some of the other comments here. I wanted to bring those up, though, because those are the ones that are, you know, coming out a little bit more pointed. Chris says, I was one of those fans who had turned the channel, throwing in the towel, assuming it was another game the Pats had let slip through their hands. Turned the game on with like 5 seconds left, couldn't help my curiosity. I was amazed at the catch by Tompkins. My nitpick would have to be just the fact that we seem to be losing more players to injury and Gronk being afraid to come back and play. Is he coming back this weekend against the Jets? Is it too early to say that I feel more confident with our chances against teams like the Broncos and the Texans? Because the Texans are a mess. Broncos defense looks like we should be able to score big against them. And our overall record should probably be 14-2 or 13-3. Chris, it's really hard to argue with anything you said there, buddy, because quite frankly, I thought the same thing this morning. I mean, look at the next 3 weeks. With the Dolphins standing aside, you got the Jets, you got the Dolphins, you got the Steelers. Now, is there anybody out there who thinks that they're not going to win those games right now? I would venture a guess, especially in this venue, no. There's nobody that thinks that. If you do, tell me why. Fairly simple. Mary Beth says, admit it, TB12 heard the show last week and decided to scramble. I'd like to think that, Mary Beth, but no, I don't think so. Maybe somebody told him. I don't know. You never know, but no, probably not. Probably not. Okay, let's get back to, I'll get back to some Facebook in a moment. Let's get to some of the emails again here. Robert from Portland, Oregon says, John, following the Patriots' loss to the Bengals, who would have thought it odd for the 4-1 Patriots to be ranked higher than the Bengals despite their head-to-head loss? I would have. I absolutely would have. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's why I think these whole power ranking things are just kind of stupid. I mean, in the NFL, I understand rankings in college, okay? I get it. Top 25. I mean, first of all, there's 140 teams that play Division I FBS bowl football. So I get it. Big time football. And not everybody plays everybody. So you have to have some system of ranking in order to determine the best. And thank goodness, you know, I think most fans would agree here. This is why it was the fans that asked for this. Now we're moving toward an actual playoff, which it's fine. If you have to have a playoff, it's as good as anything. But you have to have some system of ranking to get there because you don't play everybody. In the NFL, you don't play everybody, but you play everybody at least in your division twice, and you play who the league dictates you play, and so it's a relatively even playing field. And so you're going to go with these power rankings. What is the one judgment that you do have when you compare, say, the Patriots to the Saints? Head-to-head competition. Head-to-head competition. More so in the NFL than any other sport because the other sports all play so many more games and you only have a 16-game schedule in the NFL. So it's ridiculous. The Patriots, frankly, probably should be ranked behind the Bengals, but the Bengals have lost one more game than the Patriots, so the Patriots have a better overall record, and that's good as any reason for the Patriots to be ranked higher. Personally, I don't think I would have, but, you know, they don't ask. JD in New York City says, Zoe's call is funny to listen to after the fact, but I agree. It was horrible radio the way he stepped on the call and then spouted that nonsense. Luckily, I was watching on TV because if I had been listening to the radio call, I would have been very confused. That's the whole point. That's the whole point, JD. It's, you know, the whole point. And you know what? Some people, you know, don't understand that there's an element of journalism or an element of reporting in here. They look at the radio call as the TV call, whatever it is, pure entertainment. And in a sense, you are right. There's a very fine line, a very blurred line between what is, you know, journalism and what is entertainment these days, especially when you have the internet and the 500-channel universe on satellite and everything that we have and able to watch television. We all want to be entertained as well as informed. And that's kind of what we do here in a nutshell. On this particular show, we're trying to entertain, even though you may or may not agree with what we're trying to do, but we're also trying to inform and give you something that you can't get anywhere else. But when it comes to radio, see, radio is the purest form of being informed that there is. Radio play-by-play is reporting in a very pure sense. You are calling a game and you are telling an audience that cannot see exactly what is happening at any given moment, live and in pseudo living color. I mean, that is. Think about it. When you're reporting something, you're reporting on what you observe. Well, in radio, especially in football or basketball or hockey play-by-play, you're reporting live as it's happening and you're telling your audience what's happening because they're not fortunate enough to be there. Or they can't see. And so it's your job to create the picture. And when you have people talking over each other and butting in and then spouting nonsense, there's no picture there. It's craziness. It's mayhem. And it doesn't really even become good entertainment. It just kind of becomes, you know, garble. And so for those who are homers and those who like that, okay, fine. I understand why you might. Because, you know, you think it's funny and you think it's ha-ha and you want to be the guy's best buddy or whatever. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. You're certainly within your rights to do that. You would be in the minority. But you have a right to do that. Brian in Essex, Vermont says, the actual definition of journalism and what we see day to day bear little to no resemblance to each other. You have to remember, John, H or no H, the state of journalism has dwindled to a mere shadow of itself and typically caters to the lowest common denominator. You know, that is very true, Brian. And I could get going on that one, but we'll find another time for that. Probably shouldn't berate Zolak as much as it's a testimony on the current crop of listeners' readers. That's also true. I mean, how many news articles on serious news sites use the word fail inappropriately to get down to the level of the net babies? Brian, that's an excellent email by you. It's also true. We're kind of catering, and the industry of journalism is catering to a different generation of people that have never picked up and will never pick up a newspaper or a magazine or even a book in their lives. And that's sad. Pavan in Secaucus, New Jersey, and I hope that I'm pronouncing it right, or Pavan. Let me know. Spell it out phonetically for me next time when you send a note. It says, John, it was a great win. I saw it in Professor Tom's New York City, the place erupted after the touchdown pass. You're talking about the stealth eyes of Tom before the last drive. Here are a few lines from an article. In Game 6 of the 93 NBA Finals, the Phoenix Suns held a seemingly safe lead over Chicago. Minute remaining, Charles Barkley, Dan Majerle began clowning around and mugging to the home crowd. Michael Jordan noticed. His eyes took on a steely gaze. The Bulls won in a closing second three by John Paxson. Sunday, perhaps Tom Brady saw the New Orleans sideline celebration in progress. His eyes had the same look as Jordan's once did. Do not get star athletes angry. You won't like them when they're angry. That's pretty good. I like that. And he says, regarding Brady making throws, we cannot comment on the last drive, but before the last drive, he's definitely far away from the mark and the standard that we expect him to be at. Have been seeing every game since 07, he's definitely aging. Regarding Rex Ryan and the Jets, I live here in New Jersey where everyone is against the Patriots. Rex has been quiet for 6 weeks. Now he thinks the team is in okay shape and now is opening his mouth again. What happened to him the first few weeks of the season? I love Jets week. I really do. Can't wait for somebody to just, you know, open up and insert foot. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Matt's in Watertown, Mass. Matt, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. How's it going?
It's going good, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. I guess it's been you can't heap enough praise on the team since Sunday. So I just wanted to bring up something that last drive, and in regards to how, you know, how the fans were leaving, and
yeah,
you know, they just kind of gave up hope on Brady and the team,
which was really that was my biggest nitpick of the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one game that I really wanted to bring up was 2009. The first game of the season against the Bills. That was another game that I gave up on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, even if they could score a last minute, you know, a last minute touchdown, they'll still be down by another score.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, special teams comes up with a big turnover, and Brady's able to score with like 30 or 40 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, that this game kind of blew my mind. I felt like turning off the TV, you know, when he threw that interception, and, you know, I was like the fans. I kind of lost hope. I wanted to turn off the TV, but, you know, I kind of just wanted to see how how it would play out. Because the defense was rocking. They were shutting down the Saints, and it was really, really good on Sunday night.
Well, you know, it the environment was great at the end for those that stayed. And I guess I understand. Look, I've said from the get-go, I understand why people make the choices they do. I understand why people like the things they do. I wouldn't necessarily make them, but that really doesn't make them right or wrong. It's just my opinion that this is why you should have done something different. You don't have to agree with me. I thought that the fans that were there were actually pretty much into it, certainly stuck right through the end. Nobody, and I mean nobody, Matt, expected to happen what happened.
Because No.
Based on what we had seen through the previous 58 minutes and 57 seconds or whatever it was, nobody saw that coming. But, nope. I mean, the emailer that I just read brought up a great point. You know, sometimes all you need is a little emotion on your side. All you need is a little kick in the butt. And Tom can be steely-eyed for, you know, whatever he wants to be steely-eyed for, but unless he has players, unless he has athletes around him that can catch a ball or be in the right spot at the right time where they need to be, then all the steely-eyed glare that Brady can bring you still isn't going to pitch this team to a win. The reason that the team won, yes, Tom pitched him to the win, but they still had to have Tompkins catch it. They still had to have Austin Colley, who really didn't know where he was out there on the field. He had to come up with two big catches in there. And as it turns out, I think we looked at it again earlier today, and I was looking at it with the PFW guys, that almost catch that Edelman had at the goal line. We think he could have rolled into the end zone untouched after that if he had held the ball. He didn't catch it. Otherwise, the game would have been over a couple of plays before. So, you know, you got to have help. He has to have help. And the entire criticism on Brady is that the help he has isn't the kind of help he needs. That was it. And so kudos to Tom for pulling it off. Kudos to those young guys for growing up a little bit. I mean, does anybody remember the first play of the football game on Sunday? You remember what the first play was? What was the first play of the game?
Wasn't it a drop by
Yes. Dobson? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The first play of the game was another drop by Dobson. So all we're asking for is just let's see some progress, you know? And then you can accept the mistakes as long as we're seeing progress. And so overall, looking at the entire game, I accept that as a huge step forward, even though right after the first play of the game, I'm looking around and I'm looking at the guys next to me and the clock operator. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that. I'm like going, oh God, here we go. Yeah. But, you know, so that was really not a good way to start out, but you got to let the whole thing play through. And so fortunately for the Patriots, it turned out positively.
Yeah. And I understand that, yes, these are new, you know, everyone's been saying it all, you know, up to this point in the season. Yes, they're younger series. Yes, they're inexperienced. But, you know, you would expect, like you said, you would expect progress by now. It's almost halfway through the season. And they're still trying to figure themselves out. I mean, you know, even just working with Tom Brady, I know he demands excellence. But, you know, you'd expect these young receivers to catch on at some point.
Well,
they can't be doing this at the end of the season when we need.
Right. And that's a key point, Matt. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, you usually know, after week six, week seven, what kind of team you got. You know, usually know what kind of team you have, certainly by the midway point, but week six or seven, you usually know what kind of team you got. And if you don't see that improvement from the players that, you know, are in question here, the chances are stronger that you're not ever going to see that improvement. So, you know, that's why you have to hope that you see that push forward just a little bit, and you hope that, you know, Dobson doesn't drop what he has dropped, and you hope that Edelman learns to hold on, and you hope that Tompkins is in the right hole, and whatever. You hope for a lot of that. Now, we saw a great step forward. And by the way, the Dobson drop, that was a horrible drop to start the game and had the whole crowd groaning, yep. And I'm sure all of Patriots Nation groaning, but he had a hell of a game after that. And so that's why, overall, it's a great big step forward. Now you're at the stage, though. We're getting into week seven this week against the Jets, and you're playing a team for the second time that you only beat by 3 points the first time, and you got to go play in their place, and Rex Ryan's already stirred the hornet's nest, and so you know it's going to be difficult, especially if you've lost three or maybe four key players, you know, that played last week that may not be available this week, and we won't know more until tomorrow. So you can't afford any more steps back because your margin for error is slimmer and slimmer as the season progresses.
Especially division games.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, you effectively punt the Jets into oblivion toward 2014 if you beat them on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, if I may, John, just one more point and then,
please do. Yeah, no problem.
Everyone was saying, you know, when we faced the Falcons, oh, this is their first big test. I don't believe that. I believe that the Saints game, the way they're balanced, they're balanced on defense, balanced, they're awesome on offense. Now, I think that this game was their first real test of the season. Do you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, in hindsight, you're absolutely right. And I realize that, you know, we all thought Atlanta was going to be better. So hindsight being 2020, it didn't quite turn out that way. But in terms of the offense, yeah, because Atlanta's defense was banged up, as you'll recall, going in.
Yeah.
And we knew that they were going to be vulnerable going in. So, you know, we expected the Patriots, or at least hoped the Patriots, would have a little bit more progress in offense. And guess what? They showed us that.
Yep.
So I certainly get your point, Matt.
Mm-hmm. And I think last week, we should not have lost that game. I mean, I'm sorry, the Bengals game.
2 weeks ago, yeah. No, you're right.
We
because that was
we
just
should
a,
not have lost.
That was a horrid offensive performance. I mean, you got to give some credit to the Bengals defense, because I thought their front four got after Tom about as well as anybody. But then we saw New Orleans get after Tom too, and yet the Patriots are still able to make some plays, and that's because other guys came up and did their job.
Yep.
But I tell you what, here's my, you lead me right into my third nitpick. And, you know, and I said I was going to mention this in the last hour, and it's taken me a while to get to it, so I apologize. But my third nitpick is, you know, the lack of protection for Brady. He's been hammered 2 weeks in a row. So how much longer do you think he's going to be able to withstand this beating that he's taking?
Yep. I don't know if I'm mistaken, but was that Marcus Cannon standing in at guard?
Yes.
On this game?
Yes.
Is some of that attributed to him? I mean, he's probably not one of the least experienced on the line right now. Is that,
You know, some of it could be, Matt, but I think there are equal parties of guilt here. You know, I thought Ryan Wendell played, maybe had his best game, and we've been hammering on him, you know, for the first few weeks of the season as well, because he's been getting whipped physically at the line of scrimmage. And I actually thought he seemed to be more aggressive. So I'd give him, you know, certainly a better grade overall, I would think, than what we've seen in the past. I think Nate Solder, quite honestly, has had a tough season. I don't think Sebastian Vollmer has been up to his standards, and I've even seen a little bit of slippage. Now I'm running a blank. Thank you. From Logan Mankins. So, again, Mankins is still an all-pro caliber player, but I'm not sure that he's performing in conjunction with his teammates, and we all know the line has to operate as a unit here. I don't know that he's performing up to his full capability, and it may very well be he's not, because he's trying to overcompensate for others trying to do their job. And yes, Marcus Cannon is relatively inexperienced compared to the rest of them. But as Coach Belichick would say, it is what it is. These guys have got to step into a better job, or somebody else is going to move in there. And all I'm saying right now is teams know the way to beat the Patriots is to get to Brady.
And get him off the spot.
Get him off the spot.
Yep.
Get him happy feet and get him running and get him throwing early, get him throwing at receivers' feet. Just get him off his spot. Disrupt his timing. Hit him. Hit him before he throws. Hit him after he throws. But just hit him. The Saints did that. The difference in winning the game was is that this time his receivers caught the ball. That was it. That's it. But they've got to protect him better. Otherwise, by week 12 or 13, I don't know.
Especially against the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I mean, I like the Patriots' game plan of kind of applying the pressure, you know, back outside the front four. Because I think that was certainly helped them win the game against New Orleans, because of the job they did on Jimmy Graham. And, you know, we saw a couple of times where, you know, there were some runs up the middle that certainly hurt, you know, and were certainly there because of the lack of a presence like Will Fork in the lineup. But overall, you cannot argue with the coverage. You really can't. And late, at least, they were able to come up with a couple of big plays by Chandler Jones, who had two sacks, and we saw some of the pressure. Volano, I think, is turning out to be an extreme find. I don't know why the heck he wasn't drafted, but the Patriots found a gem, I think, in Joe Volano. We even saw Chris Jones get active as well. So this is all good stuff. These people are stepping up when they're given the opportunity, and it's going to continue to take that. You can't have a step back. You're going to continue to have to move forward here, because, you know, with the way people are getting hurt and falling down, you know, like so many flies being swatted, you know, the margin of error is going to be that much thinner from here on out.
Yes. Well, thanks a lot, John. I enjoy your show, and I'm definitely circling the Denver game and the Broncos game. The Denver game and the Baltimore game this year.
Absolutely. So. Physical, physical, physical. And thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. You know, the thing is that if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm trying to do whatever I can to hit Tom Brady. If that means, you know, blitz, I'm doing it. And I think the Jets will certainly bring heat. Neil, you know what? The button just glitched on me, Kevin. I tried to hit air. And Neil in Canada, who was polite enough to hang on, just got disconnected. So, Neil, if you call back, and my apologies for that, I don't know what happened, I'll put you right on, okay? So, sorry for that. I'll drop everything and put you right on. Can't be more fair than that, right? Let's see, we got looking ahead here. This one comes from Russell, who says, Russell in New York City here. Guys, this is for the FF people. I'm going to leave that alone then. We'll leave it for FF. Do me a favor. You're going to send emails to the FF guys. Make sure that you do that and make sure that they know about it and make sure you put it in the subject line, please. All right, here we go. Neil's in Montreal. Hey, Neil, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you, John?
Good, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I do enjoy the show, and I like the issues you bring up, because let's face it, I like stuff that makes me think.
Ah, well, see, that's what we're trying to do here. But thank you for that. I appreciate the compliment.
So whether people misinterpreted you about Brady last week and based on the results, say you were crazy, and of course if you could drop the pass, they would have said you're brilliant, which...
Naturally.
I mean, that's what people are.
That's okay. But, you know what? But that's talking. What we do that, Neil, precisely for the point you just raised, to get people talking.
And that's fine. But I'm calling about something, I guess, a little bit more serious, and I say this without malice, John. But one of the nitpicks you said at the very end I was going to phone about, but now I don't really have to talk about it, which was the offensive line, which to me has become a big problem, and I really don't understand why.
Okay.
But it certainly has, and I've thought about it a lot, and I think part of the reason that Brady has been poor on his long passes, especially this year, is because to make a good long pass, you need to be kind of relaxed. And I don't think he's relaxed. I mean, you need either good touch or good velocity, and I don't see the touch. That's for sure.
And a lot of that, Neil, and I think it's a pretty good observation by you, a lot of that is because the protection has broken down. Now, on that last drive, there really wasn't max rush because New Orleans was, in a dime, I think, which means they had six DBs back there because they knew the Patriots were throwing. So Brady had time, and he stepped up into the pocket beautifully because, you know, there were only, I think, three rushers coming at him, and voila, you saw what happens still when Brady has time. So
right,
that's why if you're a defense, you got to figure out a way to get him out of his rhythm. If you can get Brady out of his rhythm and couple that with the iffiness of the and the inexperience of the Patriots receivers, you got something. Which is to me why it's just I'm still shaking my head. You know, how they're 5-1. I'm just trying to figure that part out.
Mirrors in many ways.
I know.
But the other thing, John, I wanted to mention, and again, I say this with no malice, but just as a human being. One of your nitpicks had to do with Scott Zolak, and I've heard the replay of that, so I understand what you're saying as a professional and all that. But my question to you is, you could have gone, or you could still, I guess, go to Scott and say, listen, Scott, in that situation, I don't think you should behave that way. This is what a professional does, something to that effect. But instead, you chose to say it to hundreds or thousands of people. And if I'm Scott Zolak, and I don't know him personally, obviously, if I'm him, I'm saying, John, why'd you embarrass me in front of all those people? You could have come to me privately.
Well, that's a great point, Neil. And let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Number one, if I were his partner, I probably would have done that. And that's no lie. Number two, if I was his boss, I would have done that. That's no lie. I know Scott personally, as I know many know, worked with him for a number of years as well at another radio station. And Scott's got a thick skin. I mean, he's had to have one. He's been a professional athlete. And a lot of people spent time booing him probably more than cheering him while he was a player. So, you know, I think he probably gets number one. First of all, he created the mess by doing what he did. All right. So that leaves you wide open for criticism. Just like every time I open my mouth in this venue, I leave myself open for criticism. That's fine. That's what we're paid to do, is give opinion. He reacted in a way that most people that have more experience would not have. But I'm sure because that's the role that he's seen, the emotional kind of fly off of the handle kind of guy, and that's what a lot of people love about Scott, that he kind of plays into that role. And so I would tell you that I don't think he'd be offended by my comments or criticisms at all, because having worked and talked radio with him for a number of years, several years ago, he understands that, hey, you're in this business to be hammered. And if you're not being hammered, well, then you're not being talked about. And so as far as he's concerned, we're talking about him, and so he's won. Does that make sense?
So in effect, you're saying it's just like athletes where they're public people, so you can basically say what you will unless it's slanderous or libelous, I guess.
You're pretty much correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Sure.
Again, I'm sort of moving to different areas.
No, that's all right. You're welcome. That's no problem.
I was listening to PFW before their show, and they were commenting the next three games. Well, they're pretty much gimme games. We're going to win them all. I'm just surprised. I mean, those guys know their stuff, and I know I saw the first Jets game, and one thing I'm pretty damn certain is Brady's going to have a hard time standing up because they've got a great defensive line. Also, the Jets did a great job running on the Patriots. They gave it up towards the end, which
yeah.
is very wrong on their part. But if they do that this time, they're going to go places because of all the injuries.
Yep.
So I don't think the Patriots are so good anymore because of the injuries and everything else. And the Jets and the Dolphins are not bad teams anymore either. Look at their records. They're not great teams, but they're not bad. And I think each of those games are going to be tough to win. I'm not saying they won't win the Patriots, but to just assume they're going to win, I think that's a mistake.
Well, you're right, and I'm sure that's partly what's going to be preached in that locker room, to be honest with you. I don't think there's any question about that, Neil. That's one thing. These guys have always done a great job of compartmentalizing, you know, and really going week to week and knowing who they have, you know, ahead. And they know that, you know, the first Jets game was very close and that the Jets played outstanding defense in that game and that the Jets are going to be imminently capable of winning the game because, hey, as far as the Jets are concerned, a guy like Geno Smith has got more experience under his belt now. And they can look back at the Patriot film and say, hey, you know, we did this wrong. We improved this here. Then maybe we have a chance to win. Plus, we're on our home field. So, you know, I don't think that they'll take the Jets lightly at all, number one. Number two, they won't be caught dead looking ahead at either, you know, Miami or Pittsburgh. That's just not going to happen. So I don't really think you have to worry about or concern yourself with focus in this particular locker room or on this particular team, because that's one of the things that actually kind of coincides with the phrase Patriot way. They've always coached that here. They've always preached that here. And that probably is the one thing that will never change, even though the players and the coaches may. That's just kind of the way they go about doing their business. It's been successful for them largely over the past 14 years. It's largely successful in most locker rooms around the NFL and probably in most locker rooms in all of professional sport and even in amateur sport. Try to play the game that you got in front of you, because if you get caught looking ahead, you're going to forget to do something in the one that you got tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think Belichick's doing one of the best coaching jobs he's done with the Patriots this year, given the injuries especially.
Hard to argue that point, isn't it, right now? I'm still scratching my head on that one too, Neil. I mean, you know, we keep thinking, well, Bill could do this better, or Bill could do that better, or how come Bill chose this player, or how come he didn't sign that player? And they're 5-1, which is why I'm kind of like, you know, it's almost ridiculous to pick any nits today, because they're 5-1. You know, give me a complaint, name a problem with the team, and my answer is going to be 5-1.
Well, I was going to be happy if they were 4-2 after this game, so I'm very happy. I mean, it's really great. I mean, it's great to see some great plays by defensive individuals. The play that Chandler Jones made towards the end on the tackle of Breeze, and I think he would have gotten the first down. That was a great individual play. And Dennard on a pass, I don't remember who it was to. It was on the drive before by the Saints where he tipped the ball away at the last moment, but he was right on him. Even
that was, I think that was that Nick Toon?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All the completions that Breeze made were to people who I did not recognize the names of this game.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing about the Saints that people don't realize. I mean, Marcus Colston is not the same Marcus Colston that he's had the last few years.
Right.
And the Patriots did a superb job of shutting out and shutting down Jimmy Graham. And Aqib Talib is a primary, not the entire, but the primary reason for that. And, you know, and we're talking about the drive and everything of the game, which rightfully so, we should. It's the focal point. But really, that game was won because of the game plan in and around just to, you know, shut down Jimmy Graham and slow down Drew Brees.
Well, they stopped them on 2-3 and outs before that. I mean, I was watching the game and saying, okay, they still have the, you know, I was doing the mental math. I'm pretty good at math. And saying, okay. But it all was contingent on the Saints having 3 and outs.
Right.
And they're a good offense.
Yeah, they are.
So, and they had been moving the ball in the second half. So, and the other thing that really impressed me is when they were doing those 3 and outs, again, that was without Talib, that was without Mayo and Will Fork and whomever else wasn't available. And I was really impressed. It was a really gutty effort.
No disagreement, Neil. It just kind of left us all shaking our heads after that one, and at least you feel a little bit better about it. But as I said a little bit earlier in the program today, you feel better, but there's a little trepidation because you just don't know how the health factor is going to play into the immediate future.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I mean, if Mayo has his arm in a sling, it would hard for me to believe that's like a 1 or 2 week injury.
No doubt.
So anyway, I guess we'll see, John, and so thanks for talking to me.
Neil, thanks for the phone call. Sure appreciate the time today. Let me see if I can polish up here some Facebook and some emails. On Facebook, Jonathan says, my nitpick aside from the fans that want to hop off the wagon and won't admit it would be the commentators during the game. I was watching the game on Fox with about 3 minutes left in the game and only being down 4. Troy Aikman said this was a tough loss for the Patriots and that they would have to seriously evaluate themselves for next week. The fact that a former quarterback and Hall of Famer just writes off a team with TB12 so early is inexcusable. If you don't believe me, then go look up the footage near the end of the game after the pick, and you'll hear him say it. Other than that, Zoe's call was funny. These wishy-washy fans need to quit the band and get off the wagon. Thanks. Yeah, fair enough, Jonathan. I didn't know that about Aikman. I had no idea that's what he said because I don't get a chance to hear the commentary. Brian says, I love Johnny most and have fond memories of his Celtics game calls, but he stepped all over his broadcast partner last Sunday with his reaction to Brady's touchdown pass to Tompkins. I loved his reaction, but not as a member of a broadcast team. Johnny most was a lone wolf in the broadcast booth. Zoe is not. Good point, because there really wasn't a color announcer when Johnny most would, you know, do what he did. For those who don't know, Johnny Most, a longtime Hall of Fame voice of the Celtics, gravelly, you know, voiced Johnny Most, you know, would talk like this, you know, and it was from years of smoking, primarily. But he was as big a homer as there ever was in broadcasting, but he actually made homerism okay. And largely, except for the later years in his life, he did work alone. And then in his later years, when it wasn't quite up to that, that's when Glenn Ordway joined him and then ended up took the job over from Johnny when Johnny finally retired and then passed on. You're not a lone wolf. You got to remember that you're there in tandem to provide what your job calls for. Yeah, it's to provide a little life, a little enthusiasm, a little emotion maybe, a little energy, absolutely. But not to step all over your partner who's getting paid as much or not, if not more than you are. That's the only thing to remember. And frankly, that's the only thing I would have told him if I were in a position to be his boss. I would have said, look, love the enthusiasm. Just, you know, save it until Bob's done. Then you step in and take over because good play-by-play guy knows when to stop and when to allow the emotion to come in and finish painting the picture that he's worked so hard to try to create for you. As a listener, that's all. Let him do his job. Let him do his job. Sean says, my nitpicks for today. The fans either support your team or go find a new one. Yeah. Okay. I watch all the games I can win or lose. As far as I'm concerned, the game isn't over until that clock hits zero. And being here in Sacramento, I'm lucky to see my team play on television, since our local channels usually carry all the 49er or Raider games. My other nitpick is Rex Ryan. Hasn't this guy learned to shut his mouth yet? Rex needs to go have a burger and then coach his sorry teams, and maybe he won't be fired this year. Okay. Actually appreciate Rex Ryan Sean, because frankly, he gives us a lot of good stuff to talk about. So I don't really have a lot of problem with what he's done or what he's opened his mouth with all overall. Let's see what else we have. David says on Twitter, are you guys really that surprised that the Pats fans started taking off? They did that last season. You could see them running on the bridge. Yeah, no, I'm not. And I guess that's why I nitpicked them the way that I did, David, because I just think, you know, come on. You certainly have been around long enough to know that at least the Patriots are capable of some kind of a comeback. That if there's any time left on the clock and Tom Brady is your quarterback, then you at least have a shot. Right? Apparently some didn't think so, though. That's all. Just kind of interesting that it ended up being like that. Michael says, by the way, I was a field goal from each team off in predicting. What did you have? You had 27-24 then, I guess. Right, Michael? Yep, 27-24. Yeah, well, you know, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear bombs. But, you know, hey, that's okay. That's fine. Dave in Dallas, you're in the playbook. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, John?
How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I was just going to bring up the fact that I think the reason why we're 5-1 is I totally blame it all on that offensive line. More we see Brady kind of running around and, you know, you could tell that's where the pressure's coming from, and the incompletion's got to be coming from him trying to rush too much. And, you know, back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we would see Brady you know, step back 3 or 4 or 5 steps, and you could just watch them bounce around back there and just be a monster, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Football now, we're not seeing that no more, John.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point. It's hard to argue, Dave, with the 5-1. I mean, because I think, at least in the Cincinnati case, you have to credit the Bengals. The defense had a great game plan, and the Patriots had a miserable offensive performance. And when you combine the two, the fact is they only lost by 7, and they still had a chance to steal the game, and they just didn't. So, really, they're not that far off. But you bring up a very important point about the offensive line, and I said this a little bit earlier in the show, so it might have predicated your call, but fact of the matter is that Brady got hammered 8 times by the Bengals. He got hammered again with, 4 or 5 sacks against the Saints this last week. I mean, you know the Jets are going to bring heavy heat this week. The offensive line had better figure out a way to max protect here, otherwise Tom will be a mere shell of what he is now in about 3 or 4 more weeks. So, you know, if you think that the Patriots are in good shape at 5-1, you're not wrong. But the improvement now that we can see some guys maybe catching a ball or two, the improvement now had best come from the big ones surrounding him, don't you think?
Yes, sir. Yeah. The other thing I was gonna bring up, I don't know if anybody brought it up, as we were watching the game, it was a quick 3-and-out that the Patriots put on Breeze. And as Breeze was walking back to the sideline, they were going to go into a commercial, and it shows Sean Payton kind of like talking to Breeze, you know, and like it was kind of like in a slow motion deal as they're going into the commercial.
Yeah.
He could just literally read Sean Payton's mouth where he was saying that they were actually showing him up like, the defense was actually putting their offense to shame. Is what I actually read his lips saying. He could tell he has said that they were putting the offense to shame.
Interesting.
That was pretty cool. We got to see it live on TV.
Yeah, interesting. Well, awesome. But it kind of gives you a little bit of insight as to what these guys are actually thinking and talking about on the sideline. And quite frankly, it isn't a lot different than what we talk about right here.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff, Dave.
Man, you guys got a good show.
Thank you.
I like what you guys talk about, and thank you very much.
Dave, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for taking the time. Let me wrap up here today before we get off to our fantasy fellas let me see. I think I got some other emails here that I wanted to check out. Yes, Sean in Vancouver says, John, if I was at the game, I would have stayed. I always stay to the end of Patriot games. I was watching on television. I didn't think the Patriots would come back in the last few seconds to win the game. I watched every snap just in case it did happen. Fans that left didn't believe New England could do that, but now they know they were wrong and they will stay next time. Hope so. He says, Zoe got excited. It's amusing. I hope he realizes you need to act like the team has been there before, because they have and will again, perhaps, as early as the next game in New Jersey. That's also true. I'm more concerned about pass protection than the fans' reactions, be it loud and obnoxious on the road or silent disappointment at home. When safety Malcolm Jenkins blitzed and got to Brady early in the game, it was a concern. But to not take care of it the next time, it was a big nitpick. I know the Jets will try to get to Brady any way they can. I guarantee we'll see a safety blitz. Better bet than the Jets fans helping them get a win, by the way. New England has to pick that up. Excellent points. Excellent point, Sean. Frank in Woodbridge, Virginia. John, I want to thank you for the good work that you do on your show. I can't always listen to the live broadcast, so I look forward to the podcast. 2 nitpicks. The lack of depth on the defensive line has really started to become an issue. Was it wise to cut the likes of Dedrick, Pryor, Love, or Francis? 2nd nitpick is in accord with Scott Zolak's untimely, unprofessional interjection at the end of the Saints game. You should have been the choice. Well, thank you. That's nice, but that's not why we did that. You know, Scott kind of inserted himself into the story, and that's why we commented on it today. As far as the nitpick of the defensive line, well, Pryor was an injury. Kyle Love was a health issue. Brandon Dedrick, I just think that they wanted to move on from. Justin Francis, I think same. So, you know, no, but yes. And I know that probably doesn't answer your question. Wise? No, because you always need depth. But they are picking up other depth. You know, they did end up bringing Marcus Forston up from the practice squad to fill out, you know, the roster spot last week. My guess is, and I'm hearing that they're starting to scour again for potential trade possibilities on the defensive line. And again, that was just something that I heard through a couple of other friends of mine who cover the team and actually don't cover the Patriots. They cover other NFL teams. So don't be surprised if you see that happen in the coming weeks or coming days, actually, really more exactly. Chris in Seattle, my nitpick doesn't have quite the bite it would have had we lost, but I just did not like going for it on 4th and 6 deep in our own territory. I thought our defense had demonstrated they could hold the Saints on a long field after a punt, maybe get a decent punt return, and we make a stop, and then have a great chance to get a field goal or maybe a touchdown to win it. Why give them at the very least 3 points? It's actually, I'm a little surprised, Chris, that that's the only mention of that as a nitpick today. Yeah, I think, you know, I think they realized that they wanted to go for broke there, and they decided they did, and they ended up giving a field goal. But, you know, they did end up managing the clock. If you can stop them and three them out there, then force them to kick, you're going to get the ball back sooner rather than let them drive, so, or punt it down the field. So, you know what? 6 of 1, half dozen another, but that's an interesting nitpick. David says, good team win. I stayed for the whole game. I will never forget it. I hugged pretty much everyone in my vicinity when Tompkins caught that touchdown pass. But I would like to defend those fans who left early by saying anyone who left the game early will be haunted by the fact that they missed this amazing comeback, and I think that's enough of a punishment. So to the media people dogging the fans, get off your high horse, don't be so arrogant, and remember there is a difference when you're paid to watch games as a reporter and those who pay money with their family and have responsibilities to get their families home and work the next day or possibly drive 4 to 10 hours to get home like I did. Okay. Thank you, David. I've been severely castigated by David. Mike says, two biggest plays that got lost in the mix in that amazing game. Gostkowski's 54-yarder that turned out to be the difference maker. Chandler Jones swiping Breeze's foot to force a field goal and prevent a first down. That was a big play indeed. Yes, sir. And P.S. Gronk can take his time coming back. I'd rather him playing in January or February than October and November. Pretty good. Brian in Vermont says, my guess is that the Jets will have scouts at the gates when the people start trickling in hopes they can use walk-ons for the game. Only a guess, though. All right. And then Todd in Toronto, you're going to get the final call here. If you remember our discussion last week, I said the TV was not the issue, but the approach of the coaches. Yes. Guess they must have heard me because they got creative and took chances. The coaches didn't fall back into the same old plays. They tried some new plays, and it seemed they kept the game plan a bit simpler. I love the return of the run. Screw whoever it is on PFW that thinks running is not the way to go. Running and passing balance each other. Always will. And then he says, my nitpick. My wife will not let me watch football anymore, including the CFL. Her name is Lisbeth. Please tell her to let me watch at least a game a week. 2 would be nice. Well, let's see. Lisbeth in Toronto. Todd's wife. Your husband is clearly in need of some major therapy. So I would suggest to you that if you really want him to do what you need him to do for you in your relationship, you'll let him watch his silly football. In fact, let him watch at least 2 silly football games that make no sense that you don't understand. Because then you'll have Todd right where you want him. How is that, Todd? Hope that was good. I love that. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. All right. Coming up, fantasy football right here on Patriots.com radio. Eskal will join us in the booth tomorrow, as he normally does on Wednesdays. We'll turn our page a bit toward the New York Jets again for a second time. We're going to get into certainly a lot of that tomorrow. Got a good question of the day. We're cooking up. We'll have that for you tomorrow as well. Hope you can join us. Get in the playbook. 2 p.m. Eastern time right here on Patriots.com radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.